Log Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Unknown Zone. This is the talk show about the unusual. I'm your co-host, Dave Turco, with co-host Judy Sellens. And tonight, folks, we're going to be talking about military meteorology, or weather as a weapon. Yep, this is not make-believe. You will find out as we go over. This is weather as a weapon. It's a nice little catchphrase. It's actually the title of a... I don't know what you would call it exactly. Military paper written by a colonel, two lieutenant colonels, and four majors in the U.S. military, describing about how, this is in the late 90s, how they intended to use weather as a weapon. And it's, we'll flesh this whole thing out. It's pretty incredible. And because the good thing is, in a militaristic style, it's very organized and, you know, just with bullets, and reminds me of my days at General Dynamics. This is exactly how we had to write. Anyhow, the U.S. and other countries, it's not just us, have been trying to rule the weather. And at that time, I think it was 1995 or 6, the idea was to own the weather by 2025, which is only, what, 8 years away?
Yeah.
I think we're already there, personally.
They could be practicing, you know.
Oh, they're practicing.
And they've been practicing. I think it goes back even to Katrina and all those tremendous hurricanes and earthquakes, because they can create earthquakes with these mechanisms that they've got in order to do this stuff. And so whether it's an earthquake, or... like what hit Fukushima or Haiti or any of those places, they do it in a way that they can study how many people get killed, how fast it takes to get help to these people, how much damage is done, and on and on and on. And I mean, they've done this to us in the United States. I mean, that's not other countries. We know they do it too.
Oh, sure.
But they've done it here in this country with just, diseases. Just, spraying certain small towns diseases.
Absolutely. Oh, it just came to me.
What?
Hillary Clinton's going to have an addendum to her book if she listens to our show. The Russians made it rain in the states that are Democratic.
It wouldn't be too impossible to do, because they can do it in a small area, or they can do it in a huge area like we've
done. No, I know, but it just came to me, because she's always looking at her for an excuse. But who knows what countries have done, what we've done. From the Chinese declaring, I wish they could get rid of their smog, because they can get rid of fog and clouds, and they can create clouds and fog. Now, smog, I'm not really sure about, because unfortunately, much of China is, at least these major cities, are just riddled with smog. It is a huge issue.
Mm-hmm.
But remember when they had the Olympics there not that long ago? I guess it was probably 5 years ago now, I believe. And they declared right there it will not rain on the Olympics in Beijing. And it didn't. Because they can control the weather, at least to some extent.
Uh-huh.
And, I was thinking back, it was in 1588 that the Spanish Armada made its way for England, and was defeated not by the English, of course, because at that time they had naval superiority. And who knows, we would have been, we were talking about World War II, and we would be speaking German otherwise. We could have been speaking Spanish all this time, but for the weather. And so it's not lost on military, and this is known throughout time. I know Hannibal, it escapes me, some of the noted ones, who were in noted battles, and the weather actually had an influence on the outcome. And
well, they talked about that too, even World War II, remember?
Oh, sure.
They said that the one thing that they had in their favor was the fact that Germany was having such horrible weather.
Right, which I actually think is just like when we had the American Revolution, it was unbelievably bad weather. I think there's divine intervention at these major mm-hmm. wars. There really is, where the weather is atypically bad. I mean, anything can happen at any time. But from some of these things like Superstorm Sandy that they could never explain, then they called it a Frankenstorm. Well, how come we don't have Frankenstorms all over the place? We don't. Superstorm Sandy, well, you could go on the so-called, quote-unquote, and by the way, this does not qualify as a conspiracy. We are going by a government-published...
Right.
That's what this is.
This is their. This is what they have studied, and this is all. I mean, this. If you were to go in and read up all the information that they got their information out of, it's like holy cow. You know, I mean, they really went into detail on this.
This is August 1996. It is called a research paper presented to Air Force 2025. Isn't that weird? In 1996, there was a part of the Air Force dedicated to this, and the unit was called Air Force 2025.
Mm-hmm.
It was written by Colonel Tamsey House, Lieutenant Colonel James B. Nair, Jr., Lieutenant Colonel William B. Shields, Major Ronald Celentano, Major David Husband, Major Ann Mercer, and Major James Pugh. It was presented in August 1996.
Mm-hmm.
This is not made up. Here's just the table of contents. Okay, well, whatever. Illustrations, tables, acknowledgments, etc. Introduction, which is spooky. I do want to read part of the introduction because it's freaky. It's like out of a sci-fi. Like I always say, you know, life is very much like a sci-fi, bad sci-fi movie. Okay, required capability. Why would we want to mess with the weather? What do we mean by weather modification? Now, get that term, weather modification. And think chemtrails. And we're told there are no chemtrails. There are chemtrails all over the place. It's all part of this thing.
Right.
System description, the Global Weather Network. Get that. Global Weather Network. Applying weather modification to military operations. Oh, joy. Concept of operations. Precipitation, fog, storms. Exploitation of near space for space control. Think of how sick this is. Controlling the weather in near space for space control. Opportunities afforded by space weather modification. Communications dominance with ionospheric modification. Artificial weather. Concept of operations summary. Investigation recommendations. How do we get there from here? And conclusions. And then appendix. Why is the ionosphere important?
Mm-hmm.
B. Better to research to better understand and predict ionospheric effects. They're obsessed with the ionosphere. That's when we get into HAARP.
Yep.
Then they have their fun acronyms and definitions because you know that they have, that's their own little lexicon that they've got there in the military. Global Weather Network, the military system for weather modification operations. These are all the illustrations. Crossed beam approach for generating an artificial ionospheric mirror. Artificial ionospheric mirrors, point-to-point communications. Artificial ionospheric mirror over the horizon surveillance concept. Scenarios for telecommunications degradation, meaning blocking your enemy's ability to communicate. A core competency roadmap to weather modification 2025. A systems development roadmap to weather modification 2025. Okay. So, this is the thing. In their summary, it says, in 2025, U.S. aerospace forces can own the weather by capitalizing on emergent merging technologies, and focusing development of those technologies to warfighting applications. There's something so wrong with human beings that rather than creating wonderful weather conditions where it rains at night, it's sunny during the day, we can grow crops in the deserts, you know, the stuff like that, you know, Pollyanna type stuff. No. How can we control the weather and use the technologies to war fighting applications?
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about how to degrade army forces, precipitation enhancements, which, you know, like flooding the, you know, your opponent, storm enhancement, precipitation denial, meaning creating denial of fresh water to them, inducing droughts, and then space weather, disrupting communications and radar, disable or destroy space assets, meaning satellites, you
know,
crafting.
Don't you remember when, not that many years ago, they were talking about the fact that the woodpecker over in Russia, which
mm-hmm.
is their harp kind
yep.
of thing, was aimed directly at California and why we were going through such severe droughts out there.
Yeah. Think of that permanent drought situation in California.
Yeah, it's permanent.
Absolutely.
It just never seems to give up.
Nope. Fog and cloud removal, which is, for instance, yes, other countries can create fog or clouds so that their craft can hide in them so we can remove them and deny concealment. Detect what hostile weather activities created by other countries such as Russia and China. They're the two biggies, but England, India, they're all doing it. Enhance friendly forces. That's when we, precipitation avoidance. Maintaining good visibility for your allies. Maintain good comfort levels and morale by giving them great weather. Storm modification, choose battle space environment, pardon me. Space weather, improve communications reliability. It's just the opposite of the other things I said.
Mm-hmm.
Fog and cloud generation, increase concealment. And then it goes, it's just flipping nuts. But that's what
yeah.
they do. Now, here's the introduction that I'll just read this and then we'll get into the meat of this thing. Chapter 1, Introduction. Scenario. Imagine that in 2025, the U.S. is fighting a rich but now consolidated politically powerful drug cartel in South America. The cartel has purchased hundreds of Russian and Chinese-built fighters that have successfully thwarted our attempts to attack their production facilities. With their local numerical superiority and interior lines, the cartel is launching more than 10 aircraft for every one of ours. In addition, the cartel is using the French SPOT positioning and tracking imagery systems, which in 2025 are capable of transmitting near real-time multispectral imagery with 1 meter resolution. The U.S. wishes to engage the Army on an uneven playing field in order to exploit the full potential of our aircraft and munitions. It just goes on from there. And it just goes on about how we can use the weather in this scenario to defeat this drug
cartel.
It's like
the simplest thing that they can do to keep like our enemy's planes at bay and all that stuff is just to create a thunderstorm.
Yes. Yep, that's
just
exactly what
they're talking about. Create thunderstorms, and they can do it by putting these, they go fly across there. And it's the same thing as they did many years ago in seeding clouds, except they do it a little bit more advanced than they used to. And in doing that, they also want to create thunder and lightning because pilots don't fly in thunder and lightning. They don't want to be in it.
Correct.
So what they'll do is they'll either go way around it or way up over it, or they just won't go out in it at all. They'll just wait. So you could keep them grounded for a period of time by just using thunderstorms.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the mild stuff, Dave. That isn't even like all the other things that we know they can do.
No kidding.
But this is just, we'll just give them a thunderstorm and we'll keep them on the ground till somebody can get there and do something to them.
Right. And don't think that they're not doing this anyway. I mean, they're using it in the military for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But they're testing all the time. I'm sure you're trying to come up with better gadgets. The biggest weather modification program in the world is the chemtrail program. Mm-hmm. They still refuse to talk about it, but if you look into things like this, you find out they use the terms weather modification. And it turned out that the early chemtrails were used as part of HAARP. This gets into the ionosphere and reflecting things off it, using the chemtrails to make sort of like a milky sort of cloud, if you will. We can blot out the sky. You know, those beautiful, clear
oh,
days
yeah.
that we used to always get.
You
virtually
see the
never.
Crisscrossing in the sky. Those are chemtrails, folks. Those are not contrails of jets. I mean, they come out of jets, but they're still chemtrails. And that's got aluminum in it, and it's got, for the most part, aluminum and barium. But there's other things that's in there, too.
Absolutely. And this is what I also want to say is, whenever they talk about these chemtrails and their uses, there's just absolutely no doubt about the fact that they are using these for many, many things, specifically, you know, with the ionosphere and bouncing off, you know, with the HAARP. The Russians use it with woodpecker. The Australians have one. There's that one in Norway. They're all over the place. They're all over this world. Go in our archives. We've done shows on this with HAARP, and it's all in that. But it's everything from putting thoughts into your mind to controlling the weather. It is not only, and it says right here in this paper submitted to the Air Force, it's not just other countries. It's domestic. It says right in there for domestic use. Mm-hmm. We were told that we were never supposed to use the military domestically, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, we have the National Guard, but that's it. Deploying the military, absolutely they do. And this weather modification is all part of it. And like I say, there are great things on YouTube people have done, pieced together actual full-length movies about this stuff. But even going to Congress and the Senate and having these people that would deny it, and we don't know what that is. They do know exactly what it is. It's a huge project. These things are multi-billion dollar projects. It has been going on for at least 20 years. I'm sure it's actually been going on longer than that, but, oh, yeah. And, oh, I wanted to say this too, Judy, because remember when I learned about chemtrails in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
And always remember, vapor trails always get smaller and vaporize within seconds behind a jet.
Right.
Chemtrails don't do that. If you ever see a persistent contrail, that's a chemtrail. There's no such thing as a persistent vapor trail. Can't happen. He changed his name. He's a Native American Indian. Gosh, I forget his given American name, you know, English type name was. But he goes by Little Fox now. But his brother was a NATO pilot. And he was the one who came in because his two kids had asthma and told me all about this stuff. That's when I said it was a vapor trail. And he goes, yeah, I've seen those vapor trails that sort of like get really thick. He goes, no, those are chemtrails. They're putting chemicals down on us. And he said, you know, he found out that through his brother-in-law, who was a pilot for NATO. Here it is in 1996, Judith. I learned about this probably in the early 2000s, right in there. It's not just the U.S. alone, people. U.S. and NATO allied for weather modification. What's that? Chemtrails. U.S. and U.N. combined for weather modification. That's Agenda 21. We've done shows on that, too. This is all real. Agenda 21 is real. Chemtrails are real. Go back over our archives. I labeled the shows. All the information is there. And then it says also that there are other specific allies that we might collude with. That's what we're doing in the Middle East, that we create these, you know, different sorts of weather patterns there. But I believe, you know, I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Russians have been doing that to California. But I know
I mean, they did it before.
One of the big forms of retaliation that the U.S. had on China was we created with our scalar waves through HARP a earthquake in China.
Mm-hmm.
I forget that what was that was for retaliation from. I don't know if the Chinese have that capability, but we do. And they, I know that they were pissed, but there was nothing they could do about it because they knew
well,
it was
a lot of people killed in that.
It was. It's sick.
Yeah.
I mean, when you
there
think
was a lot of people killed in that because that was a big quake.
It was huge.
Normally, yeah. They're at least, what is it, a 5 to, they can be up to, what, a 7, I believe
oh,
it is.
Oh, sure.
And so they're not, if this freak earthquake out of the blue, like the ones that hit Haiti and stuff, that
mm-hmm.
was like a test mission to see if they could do it again on that day. When they start up that HARP, it can be seen on radar.
Absolutely.
They can follow this thing. I mean, remember when Australia decided to move around low systems using their form of HARP, and they moved around these low systems until they had flooded their country so much because they were in a major drought. And they had flooded it so much that they had an inland sea
mm-hmm.
with sharks in it.
That's right.
And it was like I had to chuckle over that one. They got sharks in the inland sea, you know, and it's like,
mm-hmm.
but I mean,
yeah,
that's not anything different than what we do or any of these others do. Or you could be having a major storm, which our storms have gotten bigger and bigger. You know, it used to be very uncommon to have a Category 5 hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems like we get Category 5s like we used to have 1s and 2s.
Right.
And when you get something that big, we can see the kind of damage it does. The whole thing is that people don't understand, David, is that with these massive storms, they can guide them. They can use the HARP itself to actually move the lows around and put them where they want them.
Absolutely. Yes, they can. Yes, they can. And, you know, I've referenced this website many times. It's called earthfiles.com by Linda Moulton-Howe. How she has one of her big things that she covers, not only are those weird sounds that we've done on the show, that may even be part of weather modification. Who knows? Still absolutely unexplained, but verifiable. The other one are these unexplained earthquakes. The seismology people will say, no, there was no earthquake. But people report the ground shaking, certain things that are characteristic of an earthquake. They can't figure them out. And there's no known cause of these things. I think it's highly likely that it has to do with some test that they're doing on a new form of weather modification or something like that. But yeah, there are so many of these things that happen. There was one recently in the Oregon area of the United States, so Pacific Northwest, just south of Washington State, where they had absolutely tons of witnesses. We had an earthquake. According to the U.S. Geological Services, no earthquake.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe it was HARP. Maybe it was some weather modification system. They're coming up with new ones all the time. Again, untold amounts of money that goes into this. And this is something I think most folks would be really surprised about, Judy.
Mm-hmm.
When people go into meteorology, you think they're either going to be working behind the scenes, you know, like for NOAA, madly working away, or, you know, trying to improve systems or whatever, or they're on your local TV or the Weather Channel or whatever, but on the front, meteorology. In fact, one of the most common fields for employment for a meteorologist is, drumroll, the military. And this is actually in Wikipedia. It's called military meteorology. It's uncanny. That's why many universities had to expand their meteorological offerings was because the government was sending so many military personnel to be trained as meteorologists. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. Many of them, the departments were created just for the military personnel to come and be trained at the universities.
Oh.
Yep.
Doesn't surprise me. They do so many things that, I mean, as Americans or even if you're in another country, they just don't let you know what's going on.
But. God, no. Never let the people know. But anyway, the introduction ends with, this scenario may seem far-fetched, but by 2025, it is within the realm of possibility. And then it says in the next chapter, they go into the reasons for weather modification, defines the scope, and examines trends that will make it possible in the next 30 years. So that was 1996, so to 2025. That's what they were looking at. But we're well underway here.
Oh, absolutely.
No doubt about it.
They've been doing this for God, at least, what, you figure, at least they got started really getting good at it in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, before that, they might have been playing around with it. But they have really gotten to the point now where they really know how to control these different things that they want to do to the Earth. And, you know, it's like you begin to wonder after a while, if you're going to screw around with Mother Nature, you know, something's going to get you in the end. And
right.
it's not going to be a good thing, you know. But what could come up within the next even 30 years? I can't imagine how much can be controlled by each country. If you're on the outs with them, they could just create devastating storms and earthquakes and everything else all around you and, you know, pay you back that way. They don't even have to lose any military over it. You know, they can just create a storm. They can do whatever they want. We just had two Category 5s
mm-hmm.
that hit the United States. It was another one that was out there, but it's turned around or I didn't see where it was tonight, but it doesn't seem to be staying, you know, as big as it was. But we had those two hit. That's very similar to that year that we had Katrina, I believe, that
right.
we had so many big storms come through, and they were all 4s and 5s.
Right.
They were all big. There's a reason why all of a sudden they were all big, big storms like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just not saying, oh, well, that happened, you know, it's all conspiracy theories and stuff. Well, in a way, maybe we're thinking that way, but in another way, there's a lot of proof that these guys have been doing this stuff for a very long time, that they have the abilities to do it and actually guide. I mean, how much better could a storm be guided in Florida than to guide it straight up, you know, basically so that it comes straight up and covers the entire state.
Right.
That's the first time it ever covered the entire state.
Mm-hmm. It was wild.
Yeah. And, I mean, look what went on with Texas. It just kept bouncing back and forth. And, every time it would come out a bit, it would go back in over them again. And it's almost like somebody's, you know, playing with one of these games, you know, with one of these, what do they call those paddles with the, and you're trying to guide the ball to get into the, you know, and it's like it's almost a sick form of game playing, but they're all doing it because they all know that sooner or later, they can actually just fight wars this way.
Oh, sure.
They could create devastating occurrences with wars and loss of life and everything else.
You know, you made a good point before, Judy, is talking about how many of these flights get aborted. They don't like to fly. Say the drug cartel we were talking about doesn't like to fly in a thunderstorm. Well, nobody does. They always try to avoid those. However, one might think, you know, sort of like the mailman, he comes rain, shine, sleep, whatever. The weather doesn't have an effect. What it does in the military, you would think that what we would have would be pretty much operational for any kind of weather, if you will. But that's not the case at all. During Operation Desert Storm, which would some people euphemistically call Iraq 1 or whatever, that's when Bush Sr. got in the sense of that one. General Buster Glosson in Desert Storm asked his weather officer to tell him which targets would be clear in 48 hours for inclusion right. in the air tasking order. So, you know, just the fact that General Glosson had a weather officer, I never heard of such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, so on and on it goes about the accuracy that they had and for how long. But, you know, this same thing saying weather modification clearly has the potential for military use at the operational level to reduce the elements of fog and friction for friendly operations and to signify significantly increase them for the enemy. But, oh, yeah. Oh, no, they've got their own weather officers. You know, is it going to be clear? Is it not going to be clear? How can we make it just god-awful? And that's what they do. But like I say, even those planes tend not to fly in bad weather.
Right.
They don't. Anyway, so the next part is, what do we mean by weather modification? It just tries to tell you what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Weather modification is the alteration of weather phenomenon over a limited area for a limited period of time. That's basically what it is. But they think that, you know, very soon that they'll be able to do it even more so. But yeah, they are using man-made devices to actually control the weather. It would never be exactly as it's shown on a sci-fi movie or TV show. However, this is real and it is happening. That's why I always question, especially if we get into a really bad rut of weather. And especially when you look at the timing here. In the summertime, we depend so much on tourism. Well, a lot of times, you know, they've got it nailed so that it just kills local commerce, which is, you know, quite frankly, pretty slow in New England right now. And I have to wonder at times about the uncanniness of the timing and when it happens. And, you know, getting back to, like I say, Superstorm Sandy...
Well, that one just didn't fit at all.
No, it didn't fit at all.
That should have been an alarming, you know, alarms going off for everybody. It didn't fit. And so because all of the damage and all of that happened, it should never have happened with a Category 1 hurricane.
That's right.
It should not have happened.
It was barely...
And yet it destroyed, I mean, multiple states. Between buildings and flooding and everything else, it was a bad issue that I don't know why they did it, but maybe they were practicing using less stuff to create such huge storms and still getting the same effect. You know, that makes you kind of wonder who was messing with that one.
Correct. Oh yeah, and the way it made that sort of. It was coming up the East Coast, then just takes this complete 90-degree left-hand turn.
Mm-hmm.
It does remind me of the way Irma just kept going, and then once it got to the Keys, it just decided to go straight up. Just really, really, really questionable to me.
It didn't go the way they thought it was going to go at all.
Mm-mm.
No. And then it just goes straight up, and what it does is it just... in that way covered Florida, you know, from coast to coast and just all the way up. And I just heard from a few of our friends today, and they're still out of power up in Georgia, Atlanta. You know, so it didn't just hit Florida area. I mean, it really did some damage. There were trees and lines down up there. And supposedly they didn't have any, that the wind wasn't bad. So how did it knock all the stuff down?
Exactly. I have no idea.
So I just contacted my cousin because she's still in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
And she says they still, where she is, still have no power.
Oh, my.
So that's Atlanta. But I guess they're working on it because other sections said they just got theirs on. But, you know, people, you got to wake up and smell the coffee. And the one thing that you can look up on, not only this one and research, this one is the weather is a force multiplier, owning the weather by 2025. You can look that one up and read. It's a fascinating reading, and it's not hard to read. It's pretty simple to read. These guys put it in pretty plain terms, and then you can go to HAARP, which is HAARP in capital letters, and it's a high-frequency active auroral research program. That's been around for a long time. Now, it was supposed to be put out there so that they could contact submarines that were deep down in the oceans that they couldn't contact before, or if they were under ice or whatever. And then they found out, oh, guess what we can do with this? And then, oh, there's something else we know how to do. And so it does the weather control. It's been created for population depopulation of the Earth. The New World Order weapon, they call it, creates storms, floods, earthquakes, hurricanes, on and on. It can do all kinds of. And it doesn't do it in a small way, folks. When they're using the HAARP, this thing makes this buzzing noise where when they get out to where the HAARP is itself. It looks like a big square patch in Alaska. But you can hear that thing buzzing.
Mm-hmm.
And so between that and looking at radar, you can see these, what were they? They were like round spirals.
Correct.
And you could see them, and you could see them move. They'd be in one spot, and then all of a sudden they'd move, and then the weather would get bad over there, so they'd move it over somewhere else, and they could just move that weather front wherever they wanted to. And then when they started up, I remember the morning of Haiti, and they had reports of the HAARP early in the morning starting up, and that they knew that the HAARP was going to be used for something.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, ended up being that. They think that that also had to do with Fukushima, you know.
In what capacity?
Yeah. And so you've got all these things, but I would look up and understand about HAARP. There's Nick Basics, I think his name is, and he's a very interesting person. He's studied this for years, and has a lot of material on it. So if you want to get and check that out, I mean, check out these weather things, because you know we look at weather and then you've got all these supposed meteorologists who are just floored. Well, I've never seen anything like this before. This is just, you know, and they go on and on and on about horrible things that are going on with stores and storms and earthquakes and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they're saying that they don't know anything about it, but you know what? You begin to wonder if they do know.
Of course.
I think they all know.
Sure.
And it comes down to the fact that people are losing their lives. You look at the islands that are out there, David, and these poor people have nothing. 95% of those islands are destroyed. And they're going to have to get people evacuated off those islands in order to even begin to work on them, even to rebuild. They have no way to earn incomes or anything, because theirs is tourism. And there's not. They sit on one island alone. It not only completely destroyed their hospital, but there's two buildings on the whole island that even have roofs. So we're going to have to not only learn how to build more powerful and stronger buildings, but we're going to have to, you know, some of this needs to be controlled, because it seems to me, it might be a bit off, but I don't think so, but it seems to me they use an awful lot of these smaller islands, you know, as guinea pigs. Let's see how fast we can blow this one off the face of the earth.
Well, I mean, quite frankly, I have to question some of these things. Look at how many years. I don't know how long it's been since Barbuda was passed over. Not only did they have a direct hit from Hurricane Irma, but then Jose comes along, very next one, and wailed on the same ones before, thankfully curving upward. Now it's doing some loop-de-loop.
Yeah.
And they end up coming closer to North Carolina, which I can tell you, by the way, I went to the beach this morning to take a little look-see. There was those big rollers, like 5-6 foot rollers with a bunch of surfers out there. And that's all propagated air waves from the winds where the hurricanes are. It's absolutely amazing how they get here, but they do. But let's see what else. Oh, yeah. I was going to say this part. I just, you know, I could read the whole thing. Some of these quotes in this thing are just off the wall.
Yeah.
Extreme and controversial examples of weather modification, creation of made-to-order weather, large-scale climate modification, creation and or control or steering of severe storms. This is where it gets super storm Sandy. Also gets into this other one. When just because there's like a high-pressure area, I mean, look at how that, you know, it's like it's going in one direction. How can it take this hard left turn or whatever they're calling it? It did. It's incredible. And the thing that's really weird about Sandy was it was going up the coast, should have hit where we are in Connecticut and Rhode Island.
Right.
It made this bizarre, pure 90-degree left turn. I mean, weather in North America goes from west to east. And that's the way our weather comes, basically. It can come from more of a southerly direction or northerly, but it's always west, southwest. Mm-hmm. Northwest, whatever. At most, you'll have like a northern breeze from the north or whatever, and like a cold breeze. But yeah. How did you make a hurricane coming up go left across the normal weather patterns? The patterns go from west to east. It should have. They always come up and hook out, you know, toward New England. If we don't get hit, it just goes zooms away out to sea. You know, and then basically that's the graveyard is the North Atlantic for hurricanes. Not so Superstorm Sandy. Just heading up the coast, stops, takes a 90-degree left turn. Kind of impossible. But anyway, that's what they have to do is steering of severe storms. Let's see here. It says okay, if this were not a case, okay, such applications would have to be included in this report as potential military options. Despite their controversial and potential malevolent nature and their inconsistency with standing UN agreements to which the U.S. is signatory. So get this. They actually have, in the UN, nations sign these things that say they won't engage in weather modification, weather war, that sort of thing. But we do it anyway.
Mm.
But, yeah, they were wondering if it's in violation of these UN agreements.
Yeah.
They're going to do whatever they want. And you can't tell me that it's not going on. It's just too ridiculous.
Especially if a new world order has got any part of it.
Oh, sure.
They're going to do whatever they want. They don't care.
No.
Never did.
No, but I just think that they get these toys in their hands and it's going to get out of control because of...
it's like a bunch of young kids, especially young boys, who get one of these new games, you know, these video games that they can play and all that stuff, you know, and that's what they seem to be like. Let's see how many people we can kill today.
Correct.
But when you get into this artificial weather, to influence the weather, to create weather by influencing the weather information, I mean, that's basically what you call nanotechnology when you're getting into that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And you're talking about using all of these satellites at your beck and call to be able to do all this stuff. And they talk about HARP being able to put these holograms up into the sky. That's why they use so much, I want to call it milk magnesia, but it isn't. But anyway, they use it, and that's part of the whole makeup of using the HARP. I know what it is, barium. Then they put the barium up there in the ionosphere, and then they have the HARP, what it does is it causes a huge bubble in the ionosphere. And so when it causes that bubble, mm-hmm. then what's underneath there, it gets sucked up into it, and then it's like a steering wheel. They mm-hmm. can put it anywhere they want. And that's basically about how these things run. But it just gets to be amazing. I mean, it's amazing technology that you can actually take weather systems and put them wherever you want, make mm-hmm. them as big as you want. And you know, you can change them from this and that. You can actually put enough vibration out that you can not only create earthquakes, but you can also control people's minds. Because mm-hmm. the HARP can do that as well. It can actually control people's thought processes and stuff. And, you know, I keep thinking, I look around. They were talking this morning about this other kid that got shot in a school here in the United States, and that's like the 21st or something this year.
Wow.
It's been killed in schools.
Wow.
That somebody shot, and I'm thinking, the 21st, when did that all happen? We don't hear about these things. We haven't been hearing about that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we haven't. Mm-hmm. And yet, they were talking and discussing that today. That something's got to be done about, you know, keeping guns away from these kids. Because they're still, you know, going into school. This kid just stood outside the school, from what I can see, and just shot through the windows at the kids inside. That was in Washington today.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He killed one girl and shot three others.
Oh, God. Well, I suppose it's a matter of time before we get picked off.
Well, you know, it's like that the whole world to me, and I keep saying it every day, the world has just gone insane. I don't care what it's about, whether it's destroying people with our weather, destroying people because you can get guns. It's the whole world just seems to be on the verge of insanity. And it's not getting any better. It's just getting worse and worse, and these events keep happening to us. And you know, whenever there's a big storm coming in, I always have to sit and really focus on it. I want to see where it's going and what it's doing. And some of this stuff is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Where is it going back in there for? How can it possibly do that? You know, it can go in and turn around completely the wrong way and come back out again. That doesn't make any sense.
And I would call that alien technology.
Yeah, well, honest to God, I think we might have a few aliens working for us, the way things are going. But
oh, sure.
Yeah, it's really strange. I mean, it's like we said in the beginning, there's so many good things that they could use with these things, you know, stopping people from starving to death in countries because you could take droughts away from them. You could prevent people from being massacred in these horrible storms. And it's even like the poor people down there in Florida today, because it was so hot and they had no power because of the storm, they had, I can't remember now how many died. Was it 9 in a nursing home? And they had to try to get the other ones out, and some of them were out of it. The doctor said he wasn't sure that they would survive or not. And one was only, I think she was 71, and another one was much younger than that. They were in for rehab. And they died because there was no air conditioning and no way to protect them in this rehab center. It's like, you know, it's I don't know. To me, it's just a whole sick process that's going on out there. But,
yeah.
You know, I was, you know, in order to read this and to see who wrote this, I mean, these are all top military guys, folks. These aren't just a bunch of, you know, nuts that's out there saying, oh, well, this is what we think's going on. This is what they're doing. This is something that they've been doing since 1996.
Oh,
and
sure.
It's been reported. And, you know, if this was written in 96, David, the only thing I can think of is how much more advanced are they today?
Oh, God, yeah. It's just immeasurably more advanced. And things happen very, very quickly. But I was going to mention that this paper, they also cite use citations. They have footnotes. For instance, this one, is called, one of the footnotes was Spacecast 2020, Space Weather Support for Communication, the white paper. That was out of the Air War College. We've got another one here, NOAA Moves Towards the 21st Century. That was published in The Military Engineer in 1995. And then there is William Brown, Mathematicians Learn How to Tame Chaos. Was published in the New Scientist in May of 1992. Those are just examples. Those are documented footprints. Like I say, there's just tons of information. You're not going to see this or hear this on any news broadcast.
No. Mm-hmm.
And when you've got these people like, oh, what's a chemtrail? Or, you know, when you have these people, you sound crazy when you're saying, oh, yeah, the government did that. They caused that. Or whatever, you know, whether it's HAARP or the earthquakes, they're provable. These things are proven. And there's just no question to me that the weather is so, so different. And no, I don't attribute it to global warming. There's something else afoot going on where these things are. Judith, how many hurricanes have we seen? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
We're in coastal New England, so we've had our share. However, with today's world and computers and TV, you know, you see a lot of them. We remember Hurricane Andrew. Now we've got Hurricane Irma and Harvey, blah, 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 on and on and on and on it goes. I remember Gloria, Hurricane Bob. These are ones that affected New England more so. When did you ever see the water rush out? So far.
That's tsunami stuff.
It is. That's what happened.
That's what you see when you see a tsunami coming towards you.
It's a tsunami. And one of the best pictures they showed was from the Bahamas. Now, the Bahamas have seen a lot of hurricanes. Why has this not happened before? They showed this person. She went out to the dock. And as far as not only that the camera picture took, and it was a long way, it's the horizon.
Yep.
She said, as far as she could see, there was no water. And the picture is just scary. She's at a dock. It's all dry. Not bone dry. Obviously, it was wet because the water just rushed out. I would have loved to have seen how far out.
That would have been my first thing. If I had seen that, I would have wanted to go as far inland as I could possibly get because – whenever you see something like that, like even in like the Philippines or any of those places,
yep.
they know that what's coming is a tsunami. The same thing happened. Remember when they had the Indonesian tsunami and everything just went way, way, way out? And the people were out there walking around on the beach looking at it and walking out there. It's like, no, get out of there. The animals knew to get out of there.
Right.
They said, oh, you know, something's coming. And they took off. Elephants and everybody, they all took off.
Yep.
And the people were standing there waiting to get drowned because they didn't know. And I'm looking at people in the same situation with this hurricane and looking out and they were walking way, way out into the bay on the mud and the mud flats that were out there left from this water being sucked out. And not one of them had the, you know, it's like get a brain and get out of there because it very well could have been a tsunami come in.
Mm-hmm.
And if a tsunami ever came in and hit those places, it would have wiped them off the map.
Yeah, but Judith, this happened off of Sarasota where I had lived. It went out and manatees were just stranded there. And people were actually out there trying to help these manatees.
Yeah.
Hoping that the water would come back soon enough so that they would live. Some, I guess, apparently weren't doing so hot. But like I say, when Hurricane Andrew came, when was all the water sucked out? When did that happen?
We didn't have it.
No, we didn't.
That's the first time I have ever seen during a hurricane the water being sucked out the sea.
Absolutely. I am a weather, whatever, aficionado. I've always been obsessed with the weather. And never, ever have I heard anything outside of the tsunami. I know that's when that happened. How? How did this happen? And nobody's talking about it.
That was a totally bizarre thing that happened with that hurricane. I mean, we've had Category 5s. It didn't happen off of Texas. Then why did it happen there?
Yep.
What sucked all that out to sea? I mean, that was, it was way out when you were looking at where the people were walking.
Mm-hmm.
They were way out.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's
like, I never have I seen that or ever heard of it.
Well, like I say today, I was at the beach. We are in southern Rhode Island. I can look out from Musquamicut and you can see Block Island. Okay, that's 12 miles. Let's just say the visibility wasn't that great. But clearly, as far as 10 miles from where this woman was standing, she flipped. She said she absolutely was freaking out. She took the picture, which is stunning. And she said, and you could see right in there, as far as she could see from that dock, that's the ocean, you couldn't see anything. So, yeah. Now, granted, that was part of a hurricane, but it looked pretty bright. I think it was before it got there or whatever. It wasn't raining there on her. I don't know. It could have been, even if it was 5 miles.
I know it.
That's so much water.
Even if it was a couple of miles.
Where is it?
That doesn't make any sense. They said that the hurricane was so huge that it was sucking up the water to use for power.
Right.
And it's like, we've had other hurricanes that were fives before. It didn't do that.
Hurricane Harvey didn't do it.
No.
Never did it.
Katrina didn't do it.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it's wild.
I've just never seen that. And that was the first thing that struck me is, where is the water?
Right.
So anyway, I hope people will research this stuff. This stuff is really going on around you. And you need to know about it. You need to understand about it. So take a look, and you can look up the rest of our things on HAARP, too.
Oh, sure. And this thing, just go online, listen to this broadcast again, and look at this thing up. We barely scratch the surface here. It tells how to create each type of cloud from cumulonimbus to cirrus clouds.
Right.
How to get rid of, fog, all these things. They get very specific on how they do it. And that's, again, just the tip of the iceberg. It's quite stunning. Quite stunning.
Yeah, it is.
Right. So we're at the end of our hour, and if I can get to
all righty. Well, I hope everyone has a good week.
Thanks, Judith. See you next
week.
You have been listening to The Unknown Zone, Military Meteorology, or Weather as a Weapon. Is Judith Sellers in danger, though? Where'd your son get from? She was dancing for another hour.